Adius Perik Dalad Mishnah Ches. We'll be learning the cases where Beis Shammai is more mekel, is more lenient, and Beis Hillel is more machmir. We're going to start off with a couple of Mishnahs from Yevamos, which you learned. So the first Mishnah is a famous Mishnah. The concept is learned at the very beginning of Yevamos, and that's the idea of tzoros. Now, we know that if the normal case of Yibum is where you have two brothers, for example, Reuven and Shimon. And if Reuven dies, then he, without children, then his wife then falls to Yibum to Shimon. Shimon could do Yibum, and if he doesn't want to divorce, he could do Chalitza instead. But if Reuven, let's say, had two wives, and then Reuven died without children, then those two wives fall to Shimon, and Shimon can decide who he wants to do Yibum to or not, or Chalitza as well. The case of our Mishnah is where Reuven had two wives. However, one of the wives happened to be a primary relative of Shimon. So let's say, for example, Reuven married Shimon's daughter, as well as another wife, and then Reuven were to die. So these two women fall to Shimon. Shimon can't do Yibum or Chalitza to his own daughter. She's exempt because it's Shimon's own daughter. He can't apply the din of Yibum. The Mishnah tells us there that in Yevamos, that not only is Shimon's daughter exempt, but she, because Shimon's daughter is exempt, or she also exempts the other co-wives from also having a din of Yibum, and all the other co-wives can also go free and don't need Yibum Chalitza. And that is the Mishnah over there. However, our Mishnah, we're going to see that's actually subject to Machlokes. Beis Shammai and Matirim, our Mishnah starts off, Beis Shammai Matirim es Hatzoros La'achim. Beis Shammai says, no, in our case, where you have the co-wives, they're called the Tzoros, they are allowed to do Yibum to the brothers, for example. So Reuven's had two wives, Reuven died, so the co-wife of Shimon's daughter, which was, is now able to do Yibum to Shimon himself. Shimon can do Yibum to, not obviously not to his daughter, but the other co-wife. Not only is it Matirin, according to Beis Shammai, you're allowed to, but you're supposed to. Okay. However, the Beis Hillel Osrim, Beis Hillel say no, as we learned in the Mishnah, in the beginning of Yevamos, that not only can Shimon not do Yibum to his own daughter, but he can also can't do his asa for him to do Yibum to her co-wife, and therefore that's actually an Isser, awesome. So we have very extreme views between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and therefore a Choltzu. What happens if they do Chalitza, the other co-wife of Reuven's other wife, not Shimon's daughter, but the other wife does Chalitza to Shimon. Now, according to Beis Shammai, well, she could have done even if she wanted to, but she did chalitza. It's a proper chalitza. Proper chalitza means the one she's done chalitza. Beis Shammai person the minakuna. Beis Shammai says it's a proper chalitza. She has a din of a chalutza. She is a woman who has been chalitza. Okay, the chalitza done to her, and therefore she is now apostled, can't marry a kohen. However, Beis Hillel said that anyway, in the first place, she was never chayav to do yibum because she was a co-wife of Shimon's daughter. And therefore, there's no chiv yibum, there's no chiv chalitza, and if Shimon does do chalitza, it goes through the process, the woman does not become a chalutza, and therefore she can marry a kohen. Nisya b'mu, on the other hand, if actually the other co-wife married Shimon, for example, so Beis Shammai said, that's fine, that's what you should do. Beis Shammai said, that's fine, that's a kosher marriage. And therefore, not only is it a kosher marriage, but if then subsequently Shimon were to die, and then there's no other brothers, so Shimon died, and this woman now they're free, she's become an almona on two occasions. An almona can simply go ahead and marry, can marry a kohen, for example, have a Beis Hillel, say, post then, since anyway there was an isser for her to do to marry Shimon, and then she does. She marries Shimon. Well, that's not a good thing to do. And as a result, she is has a halacha of a woman who married someone she's not allowed to marry. Gives her a halachic status of something called a zono. And once she becomes a zono, then she can't marry a kohen. And therefore, there's a big difference whether you're allowed to marry or not allowed to marry the co-wife. However, says the Mishnah of Alpha Pisha, Elu Posen Ve'elu Machshirin, even though that in this scenario where Shimon or Reuven has two wives and one of the co-wives is Shimon's daughter, the halacha of the second co-wife, whether she's allowed to, she should do Yibum to Shimon, or whether she's apostle, she's also to do Yibum to Shimon, and they're very opposite positions. Nevertheless, Lo Nimnu Beis Shammai Melisa Noshim Beis Hillel. Beshamai did not prevent marrying wives from Beis Hillel, because according to Shamo Beis Hillel, the halacha of if you do marry a woman who's, if the co-wife did marry Shimon, and the product of such a marriage, or whether she's allowed to marry Cohen or not, the product of that marriage will be children of potentially mamzerim, according to different opinion. Either you're supposed to, and therefore it's a proper marriage, or it's osur, and therefore it creates mamzerus. And therefore, but they still would not stop each other marrying the other Beis Hillel people. Similarly, Beis Hillel would not stop marrying from girls from women from Beis Shammai. And it was pointed out that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have respect for each other. They would tell each other if there was a problem according to the other person's opinion, and therefore they would trust each other. They trust their opinions. They wouldn't say, "Well, I'm right and you're wrong. I'm not telling you about what happened, what we do, and what you do." Rather, they say, "Listen, we hold this way, you're allowed to hold that way, and we'll tell you this woman is mutter to you as well as to us, and therefore there are no problems with her. There was no problem with in any generations regarding co-wives, it was never a problem, and therefore they can marry each other." Similarly, v'chol ha'tahoros v'tumos show eli mutarin v'eli tamim. We also, many machlokas regarding tumas and tara regarding Beshan Beshelel, some we mentioned in the past, but where one would be mutarin, one would be tamim. Nevertheless, since they knew that what the other person would hold, lo nimnulius osim toris elu al gabe elu, they would not prevent working together on doing things with tahara, and they would trust that if you are letting me, as Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, dismissing each other, be involved with the Torah Tahara, there must be that we hold in this case that there's no machlokes, and we understand your position, I respect your position, and therefore we can work together on certain projects which don't conflict our positions. And that's the considered a very high level of shalom between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Mishnah Tes. Continuing the theme of Yevomis, this time we have Shalosh Achim, we have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Shnai Mehen, two of them, let's say Reuven and Shimon, Nasum, Lishtei Achoyos, married to two sisters. Ve'echod Mufna, and the third brother, who is a Levi, he is free, means he's not married, and therefore we have potential here, let's say Reuven dies, for example, as he tends to die in Yevomis. So Meis Echom and Bale Achoyos, one of the husbands of the sisters, let's say Reuven in our case, were to die. Now, the wife can't fall to Shimon, because Shimon's was married to her sister. That's out of the question. However, the wife then falls, Reuven's wife falls down to Levi. So what does Levi do? Levi does what he should do. He should do Yibam, and he should marry her, and that'd be fine. It would be because he's Levi's wife now, and they carry on. Or he could do Chalitza. But what is Yibam? Yibam means having marital relations with Reuven's Almona, Reuven's wife. However, on this occasion, he doesn't do Yibum. In that case, doesn't have marital relations with her. Rather, he does other types of Kiddushin. Let's say he gives a Kesef Kiddushin or a Shtar Kiddushin. He does another form of Kiddushin. Now, that's not proper Yibum. Yibum means to carry on the marital relations with this woman. Since he does something called a halfway house, if you like, it's called Ma'amar. It's like a halachic engagement. And it's not a fully fledged marriage. He's somehow connecting himself to Reuven's widow, or Reuven's wife, but not enough to consider her to be his full wife at this point. So that's what he did. V'achakach, and then, the story continues, Meis Ochiv Asheni, then Shimon died. Now, Shimon's now dead, so the other wife, Shimon's wife, who's the other sister, now falls to Levi. Now, Levi is sort of engaged to the first sister, who was Reuven's wife, and now has a chi of Yibum to the second sister, who was Shimon's wife. So Beis Shammai Omer, Ishto Imo. Beis Shammai says, no, his wife, his first Reuven's wife, who's now got engaged to Levi, if you like, the Ma'amar with Levi, that woman is his wife, is Levi's wife. Ishto Imo, she remains with him, she stays with Levi. Vahalo, and the second sister, who is Shimon's wife, Teitzei Mishum Achos Isha. She is now exempt. She now no longer has a chiyuv to do a yibum or chalitza because Levi is now kind of married to her sister. And as a result, Shimon's wife goes out free and can marry whoever she wants to because she's a sister-in-law. Levi can't marry two sisters, clearly. Beis Hillel, no. This situation is problematic because, on the one hand, he didn't do proper yibum to Reuven's wife initially. Levi didn't do proper yibum. He never really got married to her. He never did chalitza either. And therefore, he now has a chiyuv Torah to marry Shimon's wife, who's a second sister. And therefore, what it's kind of in a halfway house. According to Beis Hillel, motzi es ishta beget v'chalitza. He now has to disconnect himself from the first woman, who was Reuven's wife. So Levi has to disconnect himself from Reuven's wife, Reuven's widow, by giving her a get to undo the ma'amar. But then she then reverts back to what she was initially, i.e. she had a woman who was connected to her, and also everyone needs chalitza, remove the condition. Why did you chalitza? Because now she is now the sister of another woman who is Zokok, who has a connection now, i.e. Shimon's wife is now connected to Levi by the bint din of Ezechiev to do Yibam chalitza, and therefore Reuven's wife now becomes the sister of that woman, the sister of a zukuka. Sister of a zukuka, you can't marry to do chalitza. And therefore, Reuven's wife needs a get to undo the ma'amar, requires a chalitza to undo her connection, which cannot be translated into a full marriage ben ibam because she is achaz zukuka, so the sister of a woman, of the Shimon's wife, who there's a zika to. And then also, vesh eishes ochiv b'chalitza, by the same token, also she has to do chalitza to Shimon's wife because Shimon's wife, who is also the achoz kukoso, also the sister of a woman who there is a connection to, a Reuven's wife. And therefore, both these women actually require chalitza, and he can't marry either of them. And Zushi Omru, based on this, the rabbis say, Ein lo al ishto, not Ein lo, but Ilo, with Oilo, a woe to him regarding his own wife, either the first woman he took, Levi took the first woman who was Reuven's wife, but Ma'amar, that was because of kind of his wife at the time. So woe to him, he has to divorce her and give her a get, and also do chalitza v'oilo al isha sochev. And woe to him also on Shimon's wife, who happens to be the sister of his brother, Shimon's wife, so the wife of his brother, Shimon's wife, who now also, by the same token, also has to do chalitza, and Levi's left with no wives. And both these women now have chalitza, they can now free to marry if they want, except for Kohanim. Says the Mishnah Yud. Hamada is ishto mitashma shamita. Someone who makes a neder and to prevent himself from having marital relations with his wife. So Beis Shama and Reish Shama say that kind of scenario can't go on for very long. We see what happens after 2 weeks. 2 weeks is when the maximum we allow for this type of neder to have an effect. Because this can be, there are some times in your life where 2 weeks you can't have relations with your wife, and that may be, for example, if she then, after having childbirth, she gives birth to a daughter, 2 weeks she's tameo, minatura, and therefore we allow this neder to last for 2 weeks, and then if it's still in place, he hasn't rescinded it after 2 weeks, then it's the grounds for divorce. No, just after one week. Normal case of neder would be last for 1 week, minatura. And therefore, this kind of neder can only last for a week. If he's still in place beyond a week, then again, that's grounds for divorce, according to Beis Hillel. Next case, Peles le'oshmon ve'echod. Okay, now this is a case of a woman who has given birth. Now, the halacha is as follows. Let's say she gives birth to a girl. If a woman gives birth to a baby girl, then halacha is as follows. Then for the first 2 weeks, as you just mentioned just now, then she is tomei to her husband for 2 weeks, 14 days. And then, after those 14 days, she goes to the mikveh, and then she's mutter to her husband. However, she can't bring a korban yet, because she's now in a prolonged state where she can't bring a korban to allow her to be involved in taharas for another 66 days. So for the next 66 days, and in total will be 80 days, 14 days where she's Tomei, the next 66 days, even if she has bleeding from her, that's called Dam Tohar, that's called Tohar Dam, she's allowed to be with her husband, maritally, and that period of time, she can't bring a korban. Then after 80 days are finished, then on the 81st day, she brings a korban. The prophet says, Ad Melos Yimei Tara, from the days when the Yimei Tara finished, and then subsequently, then the next day, day 81, she brings a korban. When she brings a korban, then she can deal with Tumei Tara. Now, let's say, for example, during those 66 days where she's allowed to be with her husband, she becomes pregnant. And let's say during that same time that she loses a child. Now, the halacha of bringing a korban apply not only to having a baby girl, but also, or baby boy, but also apply to after you've had a nephil, i.e. you have a miscarriage as well, the same halachas kick in. The question here, since these now finished, this the miscarriage happened within the 80 days, And therefore, do you have to bring two korbanos or one korban? Everybody agrees in such a situation that even though she may have to start counting in from the beginning, that she sees again, she starts counting 2 weeks, let's say it was a baby girl that she miscarried, and the 2 weeks plus another 66 days. Then after that 66 days, the second lot of counting, then she needs to bring one korban to cover for both the original daughter plus the miscarriage. And everybody agrees that if she has a miscarriage only after the 81st day, after the 80 days are finished and into the 81st day, then where she had a chiv to bring a korban. She may not have brought korban just yet because it's actually when miscarriage, in the morning, she doesn't have time to bring the korban yet. Then she starts counting again, and after another 80 days, for example, if she had a girl, miscarriage, then she has to bring two korbanos. The question is going to be if she miscarries after 80 days, but before the 81st day starts, i.e. in the night after the 80 days. Says our Mishnah. If the woman here miscarries, after having given birth to a baby girl, and she counts 80 days, and after 8 days are finished, before the 81st day is broken, it's just an evening then, of the 81st day, then she has a miscarriage. So, Beis Shammai, Potrim, and HaKorban, Beis Shammai say, and they will make all over here, that since she hasn't reached a time where there's a chiv korban yet, and therefore, because the day hasn't broken, and therefore she is potter from bringing a second korban, and then she just has to wait the amount of time from her miscarriage, the 14 plus 66 if it was a girl, or 7 plus 33 if it was a boy, and then she brings one korban to count for both the original baby girl that was born plus the miscarriage. Beis Hillel Machayv and Beis Shammai say no. Since the melos is finished, the 8 days are finished, and there's a chi of korban, and she may not be able to actually actualize it because the day hasn't broken yet. It's not day still, and in the night time, nevertheless, there is a chi of korban, and therefore, once there's a chi of korban, and she now has miscarriages now, then there's a new chi of korban is now in place. And the Beis Hillel has to say you'll be Machayv to bring two korbanos after the second count is finished. Sodim betzitzis, a new halacha regarding a sheet, a nighttime sheet. This refers to either a nighttime sheet or a nighttime thing that you would wear, mainly at nighttime. You also wear it, you should wrap yourself in it in daytime as well. And therefore, whether it requires tzitzis or not, we know that tzitzis only applies to a daytime thing normally. Now, if this sadin is made out of cotton, it's tzemer pishtim you're allowed to have together, and it's made out of tzemer of wool. You can't have wool and linen together. So let's say this is a sheet made out of linen. So the sheet is made out of linen, and now you put the tzitzis on. Now we know that you're allowed to put woolen strings on top of a linen garment so long as it's a din of tzitzis. Torah says the gedilim tatzelacho, you can wear, put on tzitzis after the part tells us about the isser of shatnez, which means that tzitzis overrides the issur of shatnez, but only when there's a chiv d'oraisa wearing tzitzis. In our case, it's a nighttime gone in the main. Can you put these woolen strings on top of this sadin, this sheet made of linen? Beis Shammai poetry. Beis Shammai says you can, because since he can wear it in the daytime as well, and therefore that's not going to be a problem if he wears it into the night. We're not chushish. Basil says, no, you can't. You're not allowed to put those tzitzis on those sheets. You can't put woolen tzitzis on it because since it's mainly worn at night time, it's going to be something which is we're chushish. If you wear it in the daytime, you can wear it at night time as well. And therefore, don't do it because at night time is going to be a chiv of shatnez. Kalkolas HaShabbos. It's a new halacha of Kalkolas HaShabbos. This is a basket full of fruit which are specific for Shabbos. We've learned in the past that when it comes to taking Trumas and Maestros, the only chiv only starts when it's been completed. Where, let's say, the kriv, you put the pile and you've flattened the surface of the pile in the barn of the grain, and that now starts with the chiv maaser. We've also learned that sometimes there's a chiv maaser, it depends on what day of the week it is. If you put aside food for Shabbos, then the chiv maaser only kicks in on Shabbos itself. Only if you eat on Shabbos, then you have to take trumas and maaser from it. Obviously, you take trumas and maaser before Shabbos kicks in, but then it allows you to eat it on Shabbos. You have a basket full of fruit, which is set aside for Shabbos, and now you want to pecket it on Friday. Now, without taking trumas and maaser, can you do such a thing? So Beis Shammai, Potrim Beis Shammai says you can. It's like an unfinished, it's not yet finished. Shabbos doesn't come in, so it's not yet a finished article in terms of Chiv, Trumas, and Maaser, because it was set aside for Shabbos, and therefore on Friday, it's like eating it before you've smoothened the top of the pile of grain, and therefore you can eat it, you can peck at it, you know, not a achilas keva, but achilas ari for short, it's okay. And Beis Hillel mechayvin, and Beis Hillel says no, we don't hold that. So even though you set aside for Shabbos, it still has a chiyuv trumas marshus. Even if you can take it on Friday, you have to separate trumas marshus before you're able to eat from it. Mishnah Yud Aleph. Mi shenodar naziras meruba vehishlim nazirasa. So someone who made a neder of a naziras. Now we know that when it comes to naziras, some naziras are 30 days. You make a neder for 30 days, you can be a nazir, and you have to keep all the halachas of naziras for 30 days. You can also make an extended naziras. You can extend the days. You can say I want to be a nazir for 32 days, then not for 32 days, for example. And you can also make a bunch of naziras. Someone have two or three naziras running in a row, so you can keep 30 and 30 and 30, for example. So someone who made an extended naziras, vehishlim nazirasa, and then he finished his naziras. Now, part of the naziras is you mustn't become tomei. Tomei means touch with a dead person. If you made this naziras outside Eretz Yisrael, now living outside Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is that we consider the Eretz Amim, the people, the world that we live in, Chutz La'aretz, to be has an assumption of tumah. So the question is, does naziras work in Chutz La'aretz? So this person made naziras, this extended naziras in Chutz La'aretz, and then goes back to Eretz Yisrael. V'achachach ba la'aretz, now comes to Eretz Yisrael. Does his naziras that he kept in Chutz La'aretz count? Beis Shammai Umrim, well, it kind of partially counts. All he has to do to make up is do one lot of naziras. Nozir shloshim yom. All becomes a nozir. Do one lot of 30 days, even though he made an extended naziras. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, one 30-day period should cover you to make up for all the extended naziras you made in Chutz La'aretz, and that will cover your halacha. Beis Hillel Umrim, the more machmir, nozir badchila. No, whatever he took on initially, he has to keep now, because what he did in Chutz La'aretz wasn't a proper naziris, because he was somebody who was tomei, and therefore he has to start all over again when he gets to Eretz Yisrael. Mishahoyu shtei kitei edim meidos eso. One of the following case, you have two sets of edim who testify against the person. Elu me'idim shenod ashtayim. The one set of edim said that when a person took on naziris, he took on to do two lots of naziris. Ve'elu me'idim, and the second bunch of edim, second set of edim, testify, shenod ha'chamesh, that when a person took on naziris, he took on five sets in a row. So these two are contradictory eduyos, testimonies. Beis Shammai Umrim, nechilka edus. There is a contradictory edus, and therefore we can't rely on any of the edim, and therefore ve'enka naziris, the person has no naziris to complete. Beis Hillel Umrim, no. Yesh b'chal chamesh time. The person who said two, he holds two. The person who holds five, well, he'd agree that two of them at least, and therefore the two included in five and contains within it two, and therefore everybody admits to two. And therefore, she knows time, because Beis Hillel, he needs to keep two lots of naziras, and therefore, the other three he won't need to keep, because then that's a subject of dispute between the Adam. Okay, we'll stop.